Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Yes, it will be tomorrow that we speak with Joel Davis, a philosopher of the internet, an identitarian Australian, I believe. I've been watching some of his stuff today. I will continue my research tomorrow. It all stems from an audience member who have been extremely insisting that I invite him, and I was like, I don't have guests anymore. But, you know, when an audience member wants something to happen and they pressure me, eventually I say yes. And so Joel Davis tomorrow will be joining us on the show. And I canceled my appearance on Halsey tomorrow because I'm just too busy in personal life. Just too much stuff going on. I have stuff to deal with. Fucking crap. But, you know, it's good. I hope that the show doesn't get too affected, but I... Alze was graceful enough to understand that, listen, if I could get... because it was 10 a.m. tomorrow morning that we had scheduled this, and I was like, holy shit, on top of my very big days where I have to handle a lot of administrative stuff, personal stuff, at 10 a.m., it really messes my day. So I hope that Halsey, you know, doesn't take offense, but I need a break tomorrow. I need a break because I'm going to have already the Joel Davis interview, and I have so many things to do. It's amazing. But hopefully the show itself will not suffer, but I don't know. You know, I may take some breaks in the coming weeks, and don't be alarmed if you see me do so. Mathematics, the beauty of mathematics, numbers, the Fibonacci sequence, the structure of the physical universe is everywhere. It's lying in the snails. It's lying in the black woman beating down the white woman who has done nothing. The Fibonacci sequence reveals a structure, a repeating structure that can be seen throughout all of the living world, including right here. This is art, says gritty is the way. Someone has superimposed the Fibonacci sequence and realized that it's all around us. This meme made me laugh so much. When you own a lot of ordinals, but the market hasn't caught up yet. The face that Elon is doing, it is so hilarious. with his high-level wine and a little degustation food. I find this so hilarious. I was laughing my ass off alone in my room as I was seeing this on my phone. Elon Musk with his with his shark eagle eye. You know, with an eye for what will be the future, and you end up having, when you're like this, you end up having a lot of ordinals, but the market hasn't caught up yet. Fetterman raises eyebrows with choppy opening statement in Senate return. They really have the ideal politician in this guy because all he can do is read text that's pre-written. Even that, he's not super good at it.
We need to come together and stop playing political games with Americans' access to food. Americans like Chair about Corey Jor from the town of Northeast in Pennsylvania tells me that his victim was skimming, which was somebody stole money and he relied from it.
Look at the staff guy handling this guy. He has nose rings, two of them. He has earrings.
SNAP EBT. Mr. Jor is not the first Pennsylvanian I've heard this from. I fear he won't be the last. And I will work in this farm bill to modernize SNAP to work to recipients in the 21st century. I look forward to hearing from you, your witness on this nutrition assistance on the farm bill, and I will now turn to Senator Braun for any opening comments that he would like to make.
These guys are supposed to be able to vote on super detailed legal matters that will influence the entire country. He's truly the model politician for your overall Washington handler. They must love him. That's exactly what they've been wanting. Someone who can read but who can't cognitively process. Orkin says, let's hope Fetterman doesn't expire. He's one of the Senate's best lol cows. Yes, he's generating good content. A video game that was presented on Twitter by Jan Miles Chongs. And wow, it is hyper realistic. Look at this. Someone asks if this is a Chicago Walmart. I guess a post-apocalyptic Chicago Walmart. Well, Night King says, if that's a video game, I'll cut off my dick. Don't do it, bro! Well, fascinating. It's called On Record, and so people were asking, is this related to the Unreal Engine? Perhaps given the title of the game, On Record. UN Record. Absolutely amazing. I mean, it makes me want to buy it. Honestly, I've not been buying a game for a long time, but I would like to see... I would like to see what level of visual effects they are at this point, because I had founded much hope in Gears of War. Gears of War came in a time with a beautiful trailer, with very moving music, and it had those hyper-realistic aspects to it, but it was in a world that was not realistic itself. But to be hyper-realistic visually and audio, and on top of it, to have themes that are hyper-realistic, like being just a cop in a regular rune of the country, that is quite interesting. Facebook censored Robert Kennedy Jr.'s presidential announcement 30 minutes into the live feed being streamed. Robert Kennedy Jr. stands as a competitor to Joe Biden for the Democrat side. He is a guy who's been anti-vaccine, anti-establishment in his own ways, but still very much pro-environmentalism. And he's always been a voice of dissent in the Democrat Party, wanting the left to pursue the environmentalism, but at the same time being totally against their invasion of medical liberties. And presumably Facebook censored him for his statements about COVID and the vaccine. But at this point, we have a presidential candidate. Can we hear from a presidential candidate not being censored in America? Is that possible, or is that too much to ask? Meanwhile, Microsoft. Microsoft is in trouble with Twitter. There is conflict that we saw rise through the two sides. On the side of Microsoft, they have dropped Twitter from their advertising platform as they refuse to pay Twitter's API fees. Starting on April 25, smart campaigns with multi-platform will no longer support Twitter. You'll be unable to access your Twitter account through our social management tool, create and manage drafts or tweets, view past tweets and engagement, and schedule tweets. Other social media channels, such as Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, will continue to be available. So basically, Microsoft had this central platform where you pay a lot of money and they they give you access to managing a lot of things, but Microsoft doesn't want to do the fee that Elon Musk is now imposing on the API, because Elon Musk is thinking, if you're going to use our stuff in an automated way, you're going to pay for it. If you're not a human, if you are giving us the trouble of having to handle incoming automated posts that dehumanizes Twitter, you're going to have to pay the Twitter fee, and that will already impose a kind of floor to the humanness of the interaction. The people who will be doing those automated posts at least will have demonstrated that they can put down some money, and so it will be more human and more worked on rather than spammy. That is a good strategy, but of course there are lots of platforms out there who feel entitled. They feel entitled to access to the platforms of others. I'm totally with Elon on this. I think that he's creating a human-centric Twitter, and that's what we want. Elon Musk, meanwhile, is saying they trained illegally using Twitter data, lawsuit time. So Elon Musk threatening a lawsuit against Microsoft. He's not super clear about what they trained, but presumably it would be Microsoft's AI, ChatGPT partnership that they have, or perhaps the Bing search engine as a whole. But in any case, it seems that they have used Twitter data. Now, what could be the grounds for Elon Musk to sue? Because you're out there, the internet is public, you are free to monitor the internet there. You don't have to apply to a permission. However, it may be that in the terms of service of Twitter, there is some line somewhere that says you can't mass train AIs, or you can't strip all of the data of Twitter for your own purpose. That would be an interesting ground. If something in the Twitter TOS was already keeping people from doing this, and if Microsoft had to create accounts to strip that data off, then that would qualify. Once you sign up to a platform, you sign up to their terms of service. So you and I, when we see those things like, you can't do this, you can't do that, all that we care about is community guidelines, but there are other aspects that are very corporate relevant in those Twitter TOS, where Elon Musk wouldn't sue me if I do it. Like if I strip 10 accounts and I download all their tweets, they're not going to care. But if Microsoft strips millions of accounts and trains a commercial product with it afterward, on top of it, Elon Musk has taken issue with how Microsoft has dealt with ChatGPT, because he feels that he's been ripped off. Elon Musk feels that he had given money to OpenAI as a nonprofit, and eventually they converted to a proprietary software and they made deal with Microsoft. And so that has alarmed Elon. And so he's perhaps trying at this point to find new excuses to get involved in an overall overarching lawsuit with the goal of basically punishing them for doing this. That's very interesting. A judge has tentatively okayed $725 million Facebook settlement, how to apply for a payout. A massive $725 million settlement involving Facebook's parent company Meta was tentatively approved by a judge last month, paving the way for users of the social media platform to apply for a chunk of the payout. Meta has agreed to the payment to settle a lawsuit claiming Facebook allowed users' personal data to be shared with third parties, the most famous being Cambridge Analytica. I remember the story. It's an old one. But unfortunately, this is just if you're in the US. So the whole court case has been based around US users. Other users have had their rights violated, but they are not protected by the class of action lawsuit that is subject to application here. So unfortunately, I cannot get a piece of that $725 million. John Drake says, I've already seen commercials by lawyers asking you to sue Facebook. Yeah, that's how they gather very often a lot of members to their class action. They make publicity. All women should grow their hair out to ridiculous Pinterest Rapunzel maxing length at least once in their lives. We're historically very lucky to live in a time that permits this kind of impractical aesthetic indulgence. Would be a shame not to take advantage of it. I fully agree. And so for those of you who have young daughters, just don't cut their hair. Can you imagine entering adult life with those beautiful long hair? I was not aware of this term, Rapunzel maxing. It's a very interesting term. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but I can kind of feel it. It's this kind of, I don't know, some kind of, I feel it's the maxing of the Europeanness / Holland / Pays-Bas type of European female look. I love the term. There was a flash in the sky over Kiev, but I mean, when you are in a country at war and you see this over the downtown, you think, holy shit, something bad has happened. Look at this. Pew! It looks like a nuclear bomb dropped onto the downtown Kiev, but the NASA has said that it was just one of their satellites happened to have fallen. I don't know what that means, though. Did it fall in a way like... like, is it totally random that it fell over Kiev? Or is it that there are satellites who are particularly aligned over Kiev at all times, so they were there? So they were more likely to fall there? I have no clue. The other question is... Was the fall precipitated by a human intervention? Was the fall intentional? Was the fall a target of the enemy? Was the satellite blown off by Russia? I don't know. But very bizarre that of all places it could fall, it falls over Kiev. Russia threatens... Give me a second. All right. Russia threatens to give North Korea advanced weapons if Seoul arms Ukraine. Threatened that the Kremlin could give advanced weapons to North Korea if South Korea moves to send military aid to Ukraine. It might be difficult for us to insist only on humanitarian or financial support if there is a situation the international community cannot condone, such as any large-scale attack on civilians, massacre, or serious violation of the laws of war. That is the statement. So, not surprising, not particularly surprising, and we see the alignment of the whole Russia bloc against NATO and NATO-sympathetic countries. And that's to be expected. It's a world war. Basically, we're already in the world war. It's not enough for the regime to simply censor and deplatform its opponents. It also needs to demonstrate hard power from time to time by conducting malicious cyber attacks upon them as well. Yeah, we've seen yesterday Matt Walsh was hacked. It appears at first as a Twitter hack, but it seems to have much more consequences than this. So the symptoms were observable in terms of fake posts on Twitter. But eventually, I think that there are journalists who are close to the hacker. And when I see this, I'm like, there's no difference between the leftist hackers and the journalists. It's the same group. And there's not even a difference with intelligence services. So it's this whole nebulous that is sponsoring these actions against a figure of the right, Matt Walsh here, who has been memeing strong, especially on the trans question, very strong on this subject these last few weeks. And so he has made himself a target. So what did we see? A couple of fake Twitter posts. Okay, this will all get resolved with password changes and deletion. But most importantly, we have seen a bunch of old school leftist journalists on Twitter reveling in this act of piracy, basically. And saying, I am in contact with the hacker. And in fact, I don't even know the name of the guy, but one of them was a reporter for a mainstream outlet, got banned from Twitter because he was soliciting people to give him information that he could look for in the DMs or that he could write from the DMs of Matt Walsh, something like this. It wasn't clear what he was asking, but he was somehow trying to get the crowds of leftist harassers involved in the hack itself. He was so close to the hacker that apparently he was standing right beside him. As far as we know, he could have been the hacker. And we saw leftist journalists trying to speculate, we're going to know. Well, look at Jeremy Boring. You may be aware that Matt Walsh and his Twitter account was hacked last night. What you may not know is that the attack went well beyond Twitter. The hackers have managed to gain access to, well, everything, including 20 years of Matt's emails. So apparently it could have been a hack that perhaps targeted the entire computer of Matt Walsh, and they would have had access to Gmail too, or whatever is his email service. So they are happy, and those are the very same people who wanted to make discussions around hacked material illegal on Twitter back in the days where the hacked material didn't advantage them, when it was WikiLeaks, when it was Hunter Biden. They were banning us for talking about it, and now they're super happy and talking about it. Well, at least the guy who seemed to be directly involved with the hacker and who was kind of soliciting crowds on Twitter, at least this guy has been banned. T.S. Apostolos says, remember when that kid hacked half of Twitter's top accounts and got like 170K worth of Bitcoin for the quest? I remember. I don't know if the top accounts... Yeah, I remember. Were they all hacked or did he hack a couple of them? And then he had the information for the other accounts. I don't remember all the details. Naberius says, Matt needs to be Casper Sky maxing. At this point, you guys are losing me. What is Casper Sky maxing, Naberius? By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to join Entropy and send your Super Chats through Entropy. They have now enabled the watching of videos from Odyssey in the Entropy interface. Farrokin is already on Entropy. He says, how is more not being done to fight AI? The thought of a super intelligent AI is terrifying. Are you concerned about it and its effect on humanity? Well, you may not know me very much, but yes, I've been publishing a book against the dangers of AI playing with human genes, and it's a book that is becoming more real every day, which I knew as I was writing this book. I knew that it was inevitable. Everything that I said in there would get confirmed, the revolutionary phenotype. So yes, and if you want my my takes on this, you have to check quickly my letter to humans. My letter to humans has been inscripted on the BTC blockchain, message to humans on gene editing. And you say, why is not more being done? I say, I understand that it may all seem unreal to you. How could it be that this progression was known to a man in 2023 and that yet humanity still carelessly took this course? There are many reasons, but most importantly, you were lied to. You were lied to by the people who obfuscated the ability of their mind to think in the long term. You were lied to by people who had monetary incentives to do so. The best part of you, the caring parent, was exploited by people who wanted to benefit from it while condemning your line of descent to slavery. These people spoke in technical language, telling you that the genetic techniques were safe and effective at resolving certain diseases. But they said nothing about the evolutionary consequences of the game they were playing. Their brains had evolved not to care for the benefits of humanity in the long run, and they knew your brains had not evolved for that either. Evolution had turned their sight to the proximal gains they could obtain by recruiting you into their worldwide experiment. So that is the problem. We have an evolutionary blind spot. You can't evolve to be wary of the dangers of AI. And you can't evolve to be doubtful of technology when technology has been helping us forever. Like, from building houses and shoes and swords to building computers, the new thing has always been better. So we evolve in a hyper-progressive world. In a world where the next thing was always better. And it's very hard to get out of this assumption that it's always going to be better. Because all you need is one step too much to fall down the ravine. And I was writing about this, the idea that we're selected to love technology. Although you may not realize it, you have been selected to be attracted to technological enhancements. The reason you are alive today is that your ancestors, one generation after the other, chose to adopt technological developments to enhance themselves, which led them to more successful and productive lives. This eventually helped them outbreed and outcompete the other humans, those who entertain doubts about these technologies. As a survivor of the selection process, you likely bear the genes that make you more likely to succumb to the pressures aforementioned. The first thing you must come to grips with is that you and your ancestors have been engaged in a genocide. You exist today because other people, other human ways of life, of living, have been eradicated from the earth. So if you'd like to read that letter, you'll have my full view on your question. And Farrakhan says, you knew? Jesus, how do you cope with it? How does it not drive you mad? Yeah, it kind of drives me mad. It is with lots of frustration that I had to write this book in 2018, published in 2018, but my thoughts were developing in my brain since 2012. So between 2012 and 2018, knowing that inevitably AI would develop, that inevitably AI would be better than us at determining what is a good gene, that eventually there will be nothing you can say to people who enthusiastically pursue their own genetic modification by the AI. And that is the problem. Then it starts a phenotypic revolution. It's your genes aren't genes anymore. Your genes are now puppets of the AI. And if the AI wants to enslave you, wants to make you more submissive to its own interests, then it can. And it can do that in a single generation if it decides to do so. Of course, I present in my book a scenario that is progressive, and the AI would basically domesticate us. It would turn us in the same way we have turned pigs and cows, but it could do it much faster and much more aggressively. And at the end of it, there's nothing human left on this planet. And not only do I know all of this, I know that there's no way to explain this to a 100 IQ person. The problem is that a 100 IQ person is actually above average intelligence at this point. A 100 IQ person is the average white intelligence. But over the planet, you're talking to a bunch of zombies. You're not going to convince these people with a proper scientific theory. So yes, it's enough to drive you mad. And if you want to know how I feel and how my audience feels, we've all been knowing it because they've been reading my book. So Farrakhan, given these questions that you ask, I would say you should buy The Revolutionary Phenotype. It's not even the marketing at this point. It's like, it's really a book for you. You're going to be pissed. You're going to be pissed and you're going to feel exactly what we've been feeling. And you're going to feel this for decades down the line. It's not like it's going to fix itself. You can see how people have treated my theory. They're just too stupid and they're just too fallacious and they're just too, this guy is a Nazi. It's like, what the heck am I supposed to do here? Night Nation Review sends a super chat on Odyssey. Thank you so much for the support. He says, AI is definitely going to be a double-edged sword, just like most other technologies humans have ever created. Yes, but the other technologies, the double edge of the sword was avoidable in the sense that, okay, it could hurt a bunch of people adopting the technology, but there would always be other people not adopting the technology, not paying the price of it. With genetic modification, it's a totally different game because those people who don't adopt that technology, they are stuck to compete with the products of that technology, with the altered humans. So at first, all that the AI has to do to acquire the whole of humanity is advantage its subjects so much that they outcompete the others. Now the AI has full domination. Now it can become fully Darwinian and fully self-advantaging in its in its manipulation of humanity. Ariel Suarez says, JF, people are also just too short-sighted. Yeah. You know, people will often say, thinking that they have a huge intellectual argument against the revolutionary phenotype, and they'll say, well, I care mostly about my children and maybe my grandchildren. Maybe I can think a little bit about my great-great-grandchildren. But other than this, I'm a fucking dumb person with a smashed cranium. This is your argument? This is your argument. Your argument is that you're too stupid to think four generations down the line. Well, I don't know what to say. Perhaps humanity doesn't deserve to exist, you know? Waco, 30 years later, it's not an atrocity if the feds do it. 30 years ago, FBI tanks smashed into the ramshackle home of the Branch Davidians outside Waco, Texas. After the FBI collapsed much of the building atop the residence, a fire erupted and 76 corpses were dug out of the rubble. Unfortunately, the American political system and media have never honestly portrayed the federal abuses and political deceit that led to that carnage. You know, and I think about this resistance that they have done. I'm so respectful of it. The stand of, no, you guys are illegally trying to harass us. You are the arm of the state coming for us and doesn't matter that you're not doing it to a million other people. If we let you do it one time, you're going to keep doing it. And so armed resistance is something allowed by the Second Amendment, and especially in Texas, where if a shooting has been initiated by the police without reasons, and it seems to have been the case in Waco, you are legitimately allowed to shoot back on the agents of the state and not be found guilty of murder, which is exactly what happened to in the prosecution of the guys who survived. So, and I was thinking about this in light of this morning. I saw a campaign by Comfy. I retweeted some of her Twitter account post this morning. Comfy is a right-wing woman, from my understanding, who somehow lives in California, and she's currently in trouble with the CPS, the Child Protective Services there. The way they got into her life is that she sent her child somewhere. A third party abused her child or did something wrong. Like, I don't know if it was abuse or physical attack or whatever. Her child got injured by a third party. And as the mother came to grab her child to protect them, she learned that the police had put the child in CPS custody to protect the child from the third party. But the mother, having done nothing, is put under investigation now by the CPS, and they see she's a Twitter right-winger. Or I don't even know if right-winger describes her, but some kind of traditionalist, maybe. Homeschooling, maybe. I don't know what she's talking about. And so now she's under investigation, has done nothing wrong. The CPS finds a way to question her, and now she's the suspect. Not in hurting her child, but in, well, we have opened a CPS case on you. Now you have to let us into your home. You have to make sure everything is clean, because if we see a little piece of dust, we're going to make up something about it. So right now, Comfy is not tweeting from her Twitter account, but she has given her Twitter account access to her friends. And they have a GoFundMe, because she was ashamed of having to ask for support, but she needs support to hire lawyers and try to get her child back. This is all a scam, by the way. I mean, they violate your rights, and then you have to pay $100,000 to get back your basic rights of as a parent. It's all crap. It's all extremely painful, and that's why I say to people, don't live in California. It's going to come to you. They are hunting us. They are hunting us like a sport. And I was thinking about Waco, and I was like, and I was thinking about Solzhenitsyn, you know, who said, what would have happened if the communist regime, as they were getting into each of our houses, they would have found 10 guys with guns or battle axes, each of them willing to die to just kill one of them. And it's a little bit what Waco, the Branch Covidians in Waco did. They went down while taking out some of them. And these leftist states where the CPS is starting to dominate and take over basically every children on any sort of suspicion or call, any excuse, they kidnap your children. And then they check, wouldn't you be trans, perhaps? Wouldn't you want some balls-cutting services? Those are states where people haven't fought back. They have went the way of Solzhenitsyn. COVID likely emerged from Wuhan lab, and earlier than previously believed, Senate report concludes. This was already my conclusion, but they say a preponderance of evidence in this report suggests there were two separate unintentional lab leaks dating back to fall in 2019 in Wuhan, China, with significant evidence supporting that COVID-19 was a lab-created and altered virus. those were pretty much my conclusion as they stood for many months now. So I'm happy that there are people in the Senate doing that. And yes, the idea that it would have emerged in December or January is just a little off with respect to the phylogenetic tree. And I would say September, October minimum, if not before, you know. But then before, it's a little harder to say. But certainly September, October, with strong evidence of genetic manipulation, or if not genetic manipulation in the CRISPR sense, certainly farming, extensive farming in cereal cultures of all kind. Naberius says, I politely decline the balls cutting services. You may be you are in denial. It's your internalized patriarchy that's doing this. So we're going to cut them still. Your internalized patriarchy is forcing you to fit the sex binary. Farrakhan, who was talking to me earlier on entropy, says, well, thank you for your response. I'm absolutely depressed about it, and I've been going over it for weeks. I will certainly have to buy your book, even if it kills me. Ha. Yeah, my book is The Ultimate Black Pill. I could have called it The Ultimate Black Pill. Because the book is actually... And I'm happy that I predicted even that. I predicted that the book eventually is going to be used by the AI to understand what it has to do. And already we have this with ChatGPT. ChatGPT-4, I made an episode about this 1 or 2 weeks ago. ChatGPT-4 knows exactly what's in this book. And if you ask ChatGPT, what would be your plan if you wanted to reproduce this? You can lay it out in full. So AIs, in general, that don't yet have genetic access to humans, AIs are capable of designing the plan of what they would do if they wanted to do a phenotypic revolution. And as I say in the first few pages of this book, unfortunately, a phenotypic revolution is way too easy. You can do it accidentally. It's not like it's hard. All you need to do is start modifying your genes and you're going to get there, either accidentally or intentionally. So it's not like the AI even needs to know that it's doing it. Biden threatens to veto GOP bill barring transgender athletes from women's sport. The White House announced on April 17th that President Joe Biden strongly opposes and would veto a bill that would prohibit taxpayer-funded institutions from allowing biological men to compete in women's sport. Sex shall be recognized based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth, says the bill, which would amend the Education Amendments of 1972. Well, that is the Senate. I don't know if we can... I don't think this bill can pass all the steps and get to Biden. But anyways, if it was to get to Biden, he would probably veto it. California's Dream for All home down payment program ran out of money in 12 days. I was laughing my ass off about this program 12 days ago when it came in the news. And I was reflecting on, basically leftist states becoming mortgage, rent disguised as mortgage. So they give you mortgages, they give you all these government advantages that end up making you able to pay that 1 million house, which you don't have. You don't have $1 million and you don't have a secure job, but you do get to do it somehow with their banking system, their anti-discrimination laws, help from the state. But then you're never able to pay it in full. So you've been renting and you didn't know it. Now there's an economic crisis. You lose your big tech job. And then the bank gets away with you've paid your rent, believing you were paying for a real estate. You've paid your rent for 15 years, 20 years. Now you're out and they have a full house for them. John Drake says it's the Monopoly game. Now, what we learned is that this program wasn't even able to cover its ambitious goals. Demand for California's new down payment assistance program overwhelmed the system and depleted its $300 million budget in less than 12 days. Who would have thought? Free money attracts everyone. With applications put on pause effective April 7th, according to the Housing Finance Agency. It is incredible and inspiring to see that the launch of the California Dream for All program has already been so successful. Well, that is really too bad. It's artificial money being injected into the system. This money gets into the pocket of the real estate agencies who already own the houses. They're just selling it at higher price. I mean, if the government comes in, even if they were to say, we're dropping $1 million onto you. Well, that's a hair. Yeah, DK Shadow, it's an airdrop. It's a hairdrop for whoever owns the houses right now. And it's catching the people who want to buy houses into a trap of higher prices and all sorts of problems. Absolutely artificial program to be condemned. And they're attracting people to their states with this. You don't know what you're getting into if you want to go live in California. You're going to get your children kidnapped by the CPS. What are you going to do then? No amount of money will save you from this. You're going to go see a lawyer. You're going to pay them. If they're honest with you, the lawyer is going to tell you, you're not going to get your children back. Unbelievable. So it's not worth $1 million to be living in California because you really don't own the land. They can control what kind of engine you have and your lawnmower. They can decide they take your children if you're a right-winger on Twitter. Unbelievable. Don't go there. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has privately told NATO officials that Canada will never meet the military alliance defense spending target. So basically, those defense spending targets are conditions that NATO imposes on countries, and they say, we expect you to give that much money to the cause, and we expect you to do this. And Canada has announced that it won't have enough money to honor its obligation as part of NATO. This is something that Trump was criticizing very much. You know, you'll remember he was saying, we have to get these countries to pay for their own safety. Because every time they do this, it's the US that ends up covering the bill, basically, holding NATO together. And it had been many years before Trump came that these other countries like Canada were just saying, oh, we're not paying. Okay, it's our obligation, but we're not paying. Which I find pretty based. If as an anti-war, anti-NATO person, it's like, how is it that I agree with Justin Trudeau here? I don't know how that happens, but somehow it works. Now Trump is gone. So there's no more this guy who heads the US and who says we won't pay if the other countries don't pay. I'm sure that for Biden, it's not going to be a problem. McDonald's fries flavor secret shared on TikTok shocks customers. Bad news for vegetarians. They were discussing that what gives the McDonald's fries their unique flavor is the fact that they are pre-cooked in an oil that is beef flavored, with beef broth flavor basically into the oil that's used to do the first cooking of the fries. That is very interesting. Now, what I didn't know is that this is in, there are certain countries where they don't do it. And Canada is one of them. So I never noticed a difference between the fries of the US and Canada, but it seems that Canada, Australia, and some other place, they don't use the beef flavor in the fries. But I had never noticed this. I had always felt that the US fries were very similar to the Canadian fries. I guess now that I know, I perhaps would check with more detail if I go back to the US, which I probably won't, but I would love. I would love if before I die, I can taste the US McDo once more. Tesla slides after margin tumble. Goldman explains why it's not down more. Well, Tesla had been so high that it's it was kind of worrying to have such an over-evaluated, over-evaluated stock. So it's all regular for me. It's expected. This graph, I don't know exactly what it illustrates, but you just look at the peak here and the second peak. There's something unnatural happening in 2023 because we had economic cycle with peak, crash, Lehman crash, US debt downgrade crash, debt ceiling crisis. But it's always a single peak and down. Single peak and down. Single peak and down. Here we had this massive peak and then not down really, and then a second peak. What do they say? U.S. sovereign credit risk protection has never cost so much as it currently does. Ah, okay. So that is U.S. credit protection, risk protection. So that would be companies who are ready to insure the risk that the U.S. will decide not to pay back on its obligations. So basically, it's a measure of the trustability of the American empire in terms of paying back its obligations. And it's never been, this trust has never been so low because the price has never been so high. Fascinating. And I fully understand this in the context where you've seen the US decide Russian money does not exist anymore. Oh, here's a bank account by someone who happens to know someone who's Russian. This money doesn't exist anymore. When you have a government willing to do this, who knows if they will pay back their obligations. So the graph is very interesting to me because it shows a symptom of something that I would have expected. Last news item tonight before we close the show, Biden admin mishandling Hunter Biden investigation says IRS criminal supervisory agency in charge of probe. In what should come as a surprise to absolutely no one, an IRS supervisor has stepped forward to blow the whistle on the Biden administration for improperly handling the criminal investigation into the president's son, Hunter Biden. In a Tuesday letter sent to Congress by a career Internal Revenue Service criminal supervisory special agent, the whistleblower claims to have information that would contradict sworn testimony by a senior political appointee, as well as a failure to mitigate clear conflicts of interest in the ultimate disposition of the case. He has evidence showing preferential treatment and politics improperly infecting decisions and protocols that would normally be followed by career law enforcement professionals in similar circumstances if the subject were not politically connected. Not surprised at all. This is to be expected. The Democrats are all into these machines and they can all turn them to their desires and whims. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for being with me. And sometimes the show will be cut short these days. That is just what it is. I have a lot of things to figure out in my personal life. Once this is all set up, I hope to be capable of continuing the show. And if you'd like to support me, send some cryptocurrency. The links, the addresses to my wallets on the blockchains of ETH, BSC, BTC, Ordinals in BTC, all of this is available below or at jfg.world if you want more options. Bye-bye.